For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Local experts answering your questions. Call 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah.
855-765-1045. That's the number to call. That puts you in touch with me, your host, Scott Young, hanging out once again with Eddie and Chuck from the law firm of Farah and Farah. They're the real hosts, the real sponsors, the real power behind the show, and they're standing by to take your calls. If you've got legal questions, now's the time. Reach on out, 855-765-1045. Fellas, how you doing today?
Oh, it's all good, Scott. Heck.
We're here ready to serve.
You ready? Yeah, ready to serve. I mean, we're lucky, you know.
To serve and protect. That's what we do here.
We could be stuck in the airport in Kabul or somewhere, you know. Let's be thankful. Yeah, that's not a place to be right now, I don't think.
No, in fact,
yeah, the ticket counter.
The latest warning was don't go to the airport, so I'm guessing they're saying, I don't know, hotfoot it to the border instead?
Well, yeah, you got the Pakistani border is only like an hour away.
And last time I checked, wasn't Pakistan one of the participating nations in some of the skullduggery behind the whole affair way back in September 11th? And
yeah.
And so while we're spending so much time over here in Afghanistan for 20-odd years and related causes and stuff, it seems to me it was in Pakistan where they found the guy. So
It
seems like an awful lot of distraction going on there. But, hey, that's just my opinion. I reflect no opinions of any companies or otherwise. I just work here. I'm just an idiot with a bond.
Bait and switch.
We don't. We don't have any opinions because I mean, you have to get to me to have a really a valid opinion. You got to know the facts, and who knows what the facts are anymore?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, how can you render an opinion without knowing the facts?
I think we've pretty much established that we live in a post-fact society at this point.
Yes. Nobody. I mean, I hear one thing one day and it's right. The next day it's wrong. I just you don't know what to believe.
I googled it on the YouTube. I know I'm correct.
Yeah, right. That's right. But
last week I was an expert on infectious diseases. This week I'm an expert on foreign policy.
Now you are. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
I got two words for you. We were talking about it last week, and I'll remind you if we can jump onto that topic today. Hot coffee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to get into that. Let me get my notes out on that. I do have them because I did want to cover it. Because everybody knew about the McDonald's case. I'll get into that for sure today, but I just wanted to touch on Zantac. It's been pulled off the market, but you've heard about it. It's people took it for, acid reflux and so forth. It's like a Tums. It's a glorified Tums tablet. It was a prescription, then it became over-the-counter. And in spring of 2020, last year, it was finally pulled off the market because what had happened is that they found out that that Zantac, when stored over room temperature or was overheated, would create a carcinogen that would be created that you would ingest and possibly cause you to have cancer. Okay, to get cancer. So there
trade your heartburn for cancer. There's a marketing slogan that failed. That's right up there with New Coke.
Yeah, right. Which one do you take? I'll take the heartburn or the cancer. But that's what they were doing.
I'll take the New Coke, thanks.
But the interesting thing about this case is, they failed to tell the when they stored it, it was higher than room temperature. It created this drug called this chemical NDMA. That's a carcinogen. It was created by overheating the Zantac, and if you ingested it, then you're susceptible to a higher risk of cancer. And so the government finally pulled that off the market last year. Can't find Zantac, but there was lawsuits filed. Of course, people started filing lawsuits on Zantac. People who came down with cancer, maybe had no pre-existing issues, and all of a sudden they were long-term Zantac users, and they ended up getting cancer and so forth. So they started filing lawsuits. against the manufacturers. But we've heard about, you know, you've heard about drug litigation. We've talked about drug litigation. We've talked about Vioxx. We've talked about all different drugs that have been litigated and where settlements have been made. But in this particular case, because the drug was a generic drug, and once it becomes generic, it's very, very difficult to sue the generic company. And you may ask yourself, why is it so difficult to sue the company that now handles the drug in a generic fashion? How come I can't sue the manufacturer of Zantac? You know, but you can't. Once it becomes generic and another company buys the rights to that drug, under the law, they can't change the warning that the original manufacturer put on the drug. The government approved that warning. That was done way back then. Me, the generic drug maker, we buy the rights to make that drug. We can't change the warning. And since we can't change the warning, the judge held that they could not proceed against Zantac. I know we have a lot of claims. That's going to be subject to an appeal. Chuck, we have a lot of those cases in our office.
Yeah.
We're working on them. We're dealing with them. And so you always run into that problem when you feel like you've been harmed by a generic drug. Because we get calls all the time from people. Oh, you know, I've been taking this generic drug. It was originally Lipitor. Yeah, you know, Lipitor is now generic. Okay? I mean, the patent's run out or whatever. It's a generic drug now. So there's a whole different set of rules that deal with generic drugs. Basically because the new maker cannot change the label. And therefore, it's not fair to hold him to a different standard because it was not up to him what he put on the box. So that's what's going on with Zantac right now. Pulled off the market, but the judge recently has dismissed numerous cases against the manufacturer, Walgreens, CVS, Costco, Kroger, all the people that sell it. Because as you know, in America, and under our rules, just because you don't make the product doesn't mean you're immune from a lawsuit. If you place the product in a stream of commerce, like Walgreens or Kroger or CVS, you sell Zantac on the shelf. You sell it on, and you put it in the stream of commerce. Even though you didn't make it, you can be held responsible for people who are injured by that drug.
So that being the case, then if you can't sue the generic manufacturer, can you still go after the retailers?
Yeah, well, the problem is the statute of limitations is probably run on the retailers because it's been generic for quite some time. Yeah, so that's what I assume because the cases that were all dismissed were against generic.
Yeah.
That seems like a double dirty on people right now.
Yeah,
there.
It does. It is double, but
that was, yeah, that was a major change in the mass tort world. It really was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, I know, the power of money. But another thing is that I want to get into the hot coffee because we all heard, this is probably before you were born, Scott, but...
Yeah, maybe go through the facts of the McDonald's.
Well, so I want to start.
A lot of people may not know about it.
Yeah, well, they don't know about it. But the thing about it is, because we get calls all the time, everybody wants a right or wrong answer. I mean, the law is not black and white. So I'm going to give you two examples of why you think there are very similar cases, but each one has a little bit of a fact difference to it. And that's why there are two different, completely different outcomes. Back in 1994, there was a case, Liebig versus McDonald's. This is about 25 years ago. Yeah, a lady went through the drive-thru of McDonald's, bought a cup of coffee, tried to take the top off, and the coffee spilled in her lap. And it happened in New Mexico. She placed the cup between her legs, and she had it between her legs, and she attempted to peel the cap off. The coffee spilled, and she sustained second and third degree burns. Okay, so. Second degree burns, as most of us know, heal up pretty much. Third degree burns, it's a different story. That's where you need skin grafts and things like that, typically, to make you better. She sued McDonald's, stating that the hot coffee was defectively manufactured, okay? That it was a defective product, you know? Because she said McDonald's had asked their franchisees to brew the coffee at 180 to 190 degrees Fahrenheit. And so that's pretty hot for coffee.
Yeah, it was intentionally brewed at that, that level of temperature.
And McDonald's had received, although they sell probably millions and millions of cups of coffee, they had received 700 reports of burns resulting from coffee spills, okay? So they were kind of aware that people were getting burned by the coffee. They were on notice about that. I had heard, and I don't see it in this article, that McDonald's was making the coffee super hot because I get that they were offering free cups of coffee. Like, once you buy one coffee, you get a new free refill. They figured if they made the coffee so hot, by the time that coffee cup was done, the person wouldn't come back for the second cup. That's what I had heard. I didn't see that in the article, but I do remember this case coming out. But anyway, her damages, I mean, she recovered about $2.7 million for that. In that case, that was back in, 25 years ago. So, and everybody was up in arms about it saying, she spills a cup of coffee. It was herself. She took the top off. She put it between her legs. You know, everybody knows that hot coffee, if you have hot coffee, you shouldn't do it, I mean, it's dangerous. But nonetheless, the jury believed that, the product was defective because they brewed it so and hot. I mean, the jury found that it's foreseeable that people, going through a drive-through would put a cup of coffee in that area and try to take the top off. So, but if the coffee were not brewed at such a hot temperature, then, these injuries wouldn't have occurred and so forth. So, anyway, that was the basis for that lawsuit. She made that recovery, and she got paid. I think the verdict was reduced by 20% fault on her because there was some of her contributory fault.
Pulling off the cap, top of it.
Or might be, right. Because, exactly. So, anyway, so she made a recovery. A lot of people used that case to go to the courts to get what they call tort reform.
Right.
These laws are out of, personal injury people are out of control. It's a lottery. People spill cups of coffee on themselves. They took that as a, they put a spin on it. You take a cup of coffee and you spill it on yourself and you get a couple of $1 million. And without everybody knowing the facts. But there was a lot of, in years past, there was a lot said about that case and how, and it really did affect the tort system. There was a lot of movements to put limits on damages, and we have limits on damages now. You have limits in medical malpractice cases. You have limits on all kind of cases, labor cases, what you can get for in a discrimination type situation. So they're all kind of
even trial practice changed when you're picking the jury and questioning, trying to pick the jury, the jury participants, the jury participants, you would have to ask, about tort reform and about that case and if whether they were
influenced by it
one way or the other. So
let's go to 2016. Okay, just a few years ago. This is a Starbucks case. It's not a McDonald's case. And a lady goes into Starbucks with a friend. They each order a hot tea. They give her each kind of, they double cup the tea because it's hot. So they got, a double cup. They put a full cup into an empty cup. And she was carrying, neither of them had a sleeve, but they were double cupped. And she carried both teas to her table and sat down. And she claimed that because the cup of tea was filled to the top and was very hot, she didn't want to lift it. She was afraid to lift it. The tea was hot. It was very full. So she pulled the lid off the cup and left it on the table. And she moved her chair back to sip from the cup while it was on the table. So you understand what she was doing? She left the cup on the table. She moved her chair back. And so she was going to bend over and sip it out of the cup without lifting it up. Okay. Well, she lost her balance. She put the hand on the table to steady herself, causing the hot tea to spill in her lap, and she sustained second-degree burns. Okay, this is another, not a hot coffee, but a hot tea case. And she claimed that the double cup without a sleeve was a manufacturing defect, just like the former case where she said hot coffee brewed at 190 degrees is a defective cup of coffee. She made the same claim. You gave me the double cup, but you didn't put the sleeve on it. I couldn't pick it up. I had to do this funky way of drinking it, and it spilled on me. But the court said that there's no proximate cause with the way you got injured and the defective product. And that's what you got to have in every tort case, what they call proximate cause. And
Yeah, because that argument about not having a proper sleeve, the second cup was the sleeve. So thanks. Yeah. Thanks for playing. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, that's what they told us. So they dismissed that case. She got nothing for her injury.
Proximate cause is a major element.
Yeah, because you've got to, because the court held that the alleged defect, the double cup without the sleeve, did not increase the risk of her being burned, which was true, because what really increased the risk was her bending over, leaving the cup on the table, losing her balance, and spilling the coffee on her. So it's a little different fact scenario than the McDonald's case, because she had to pull the cup off. I mean, she was in the car and so forth. So that was more of a closer proximate cause. So the point we're trying to make is that, with all that being said,
I mean that
the law, each case is fact specific. Because people will say, I talked to my friend, and we hear this all the time, Chuck, what's my case worth? Nobody knows what your case is worth until, you get the medical treatment and everything plays out. Because they say, well, my friend had a bad back, and he got this much money. How come my back's just as bad? How come I can't get the same amount or more? So every case is case specific. It all depends on the facts. And it depends on, many factors. But that's why you have litigation. I mean, if everything was black and white, you could fill the information into a computer and just get an answer. But yeah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's why you have to look at all the circumstances. I mean, the law...
the McDonald's case, yeah.
The law is well established typically in a case. But then the facts that attach to the law in a specific case make different results happen, mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. You've got the, you learn back in law school, you've got this black letter law, here's the law. And then, but really you got to run the law through the facts to determine what the outcome's going to be. And it can be different just by a little simple twist to the facts can cause a different result. Like that, those two hot coffee examples you've given.
Very close.
They're close in facts, really.
Two different outcomes.
Two different
outcomes.
One gets
almost $3 million. The next one, the other one gets nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why there's just, the law is never clear cut. Mm-hmm. There's always a gray area, no matter what area of law you're practicing.
The thing is, we're going to, we talked about Zantac and so forth, but, I don't know if, have y'all covered this in your news, Scott, but have y'all covered the PFAS chemicals in the environment, these forever chemicals?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't been part and party to what's going on in the newsroom as far as some of the story scripts. Well, I'm sure they have paid attention to it if it's been affecting the local community.
Well, there's a lot in our environment. There's a lot of these chemicals are called PFAS chemicals. And... DuPont was a manufacturer, there are other companies, but DuPont was a manufacturer, and they call them forever chemicals, okay? Because once they get in the environment and inside of you, they're there. I mean, they don't go away. I mean, it's not something you can't flush them out. You can't do anything to them. Once they're in the ground, they're there like almost for basically forever. That's why they call them forever chemicals. But these chemicals were used to produce nonstick products like Teflon, along with firefighting foam, water repellent clothing, and other household items.
Yeah, we have been covering those stories.
Yes, and I'll tell you, they are associated with a wide range of adverse health impacts, including developmental and reproductive problems, increased risk of cancers, liver and kidney, and other problems. So these things are bad news. Okay. They're very bad. So I'm reading an article about them because these chemicals are in the firefighters, that foam that the firefighters use. So there's a study that says that those toxic PFAS chemicals are in the blood of 80% of volunteer firefighters. So that just tells you how prevalent those chemicals are. And these firefighters are being subjected because they use this. I guess they train with it too. Not just using it. I mean, they're not just using it once every 10 or 15 years or maybe once in their career. They're probably practicing with this firefighter foam.
Right.
And this foam has this forever chemical in it that causes all these reproductive and cancer type issues. And so, but for 80% of volunteer firefighters to have it in their blood, that's, I don't know, that's not a good thing. And, but there's been some, there's a lot, that's why you, there's a lot of litigation going on. There have been some settlements, but I'm not aware, I don't know if around here there are deposits of those forever chemicals or whatever.
Kind of like an asbestos. It reminds me of the asbestos lawsuits that took place.
Yeah,
I know they had a lot of concerns about it being particularly around military sites because they have so much additional stuff going on with all the military equipment, especially out in places like Mayport. You got so many ships and so many resources that are using so many chemicals in such a wide area that the disposal of them has represented a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, but... yeah, you wonder. I mean,
it's big business coming up with these, with these products that without thinking how the effect of the consumer, the effect on the consumer.
Well, we want to hear how the things are affecting you. We want to hear about how the law is affecting you and any concerns you've got about that. So reach out to us at 855-765-1045 on the Consumer Law Hour. Chuck and Eddie standing by to take your legal questions. Any legal topic will do and is welcome. Again, 855-765-1045. Consumer Law Hour will continue on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we are back on the Consumer Law Hour, 855-765-1045. That puts you in touch with our legal experts, Eddie Farah and Chuck Farah from the law firm of Farah and Farah, standing by to take your calls. 855-765-1045. Those lines are open. So give us a shout, join the conversation, and let's see what we can do to help.
Okay, Scott, there was a recent case that just came down out of the 11th Circuit Court. Federal court up in Atlanta on a situation where this church had sued the Southern Poverty Law Center for defamation and discrimination. And the reason why they sued them is that Amazon has a program called the, I've never heard of it, the Amazon Smile Program, I think it's called. And it's called Amazon, Amazon Smile Foundation, where Amazon will donate money to your charity, money to a charity that you select. So you go online, and if you purchase something, you can donate a certain amount of your proceeds or your sales to this Amazon Smile Foundation. But what Amazon does, Amazon relies on the Southern Poverty Law Center to determine what charities get the money. All right. So you got to pass the, you got to be vetted out by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So there's this church that, does not, it's got an anti,
suffice it to say, they take positions that some may find controversial.
And because they're against homosexual conduct, okay? They don't like it. It's no good. We don't want it. We're a church. We don't. It's not right. It's not whatever it is. Whatever their reason is, okay? They don't want it. So the Southern Poverty Law Center designates that church as a hate group, okay? And they designate it as a hate group because it has beliefs or practices that attack or malign an entire class of people, typically for their immutable characteristics. Okay? So they're saying that the Southern Poverty Law Center, that is the gatekeeper for this foundation money for Amazon, says this church is not entitled to any money. Okay? So you're off the list. So the church sues Amazon, and it sues the Southern Poverty Law Center up in Atlanta, 11th Circuit. So, because I think the Southern Poverty Law Center is based down here in the South. I think it's here, it's in the South, so Atlanta controls that area. So they sue them in Atlanta, and the court rules for the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they state that what Amazon is doing and what the Southern Poverty Law Center is doing is First Amendment. So on First Amendment grounds, they rejected the church's argument that there was discrimination against them, and that they should be allowed to participate in this Amazon Foundation money. So now the court has ruled on that. And the thing about it is, you are, and they also filed a defamation claim against the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the court dismissed that too. And basically the reason why they dismissed the defamation claim is that if you are a public figure, like a church is, then in order for you to maintain a defamation claim, you have to be almost malicious in your actions.
And you have to show some kind of consequence of it. You have to show that they're somehow diminished in access or resource or in some business dealing. Yeah, you got to show damages.
Well, they can show damage by not getting the money from the...
But that's not damages because they didn't have the money beforehand.
Well, but they're being prevented from getting the money.
They're not entitled to the money. It's not theirs. Yeah. Amazon has it and says, well, we'll decide who it goes to, and we ask these guys to broker it.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Thanks for playing. No, next.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what happened. Scott just summarized a court opinion in about two lines. But that's just an interesting case.
Yeah, so the Southern Poverty Law Center, that's...
They were the gatekeeper for the foundation. Right.
And so that's just an organization that kind of makes sure that, there's no, racial discrimination. Well, they file lawsuits,
They designate, they're the gatekeeper for the Amazon Foundation.
Right. But their general purpose is to...
So that way people can't go online and...
But there have been haters who have gone back against the SPLC and designated them a hate group, too, because they didn't like us.
Yeah.
And, it takes a little more sophistication than that.
Right.
Well, we've got our first caller of the day. We've got Ed from Yulee, and he's got an issue with a home warranty. Hey, Ed, you're on the Consumer Law Hour. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hey, Ed.
How are you?
How you doing?
Hey, good, you?
We're hanging in there, man.
All right. My question is about a home warranty. I've had the home warranty for about 15 years. And every other time I've used it, they've been speedy. They've been, they've taken care of the issues. Back in June, the AC in my house went out. And so I placed a call, and they started a service call. It was on June 14th. About a week and a half later, they had a guy come out. He cleaned out the drain line and did a few other things and said, okay, now in about 24 hours, it's going to start getting cool again. So we said, okay. So the guy left. 24 hours later, it didn't get cool. And another 24 hours, it didn't get cool. So I called him back again. Well, the next time they sent a guy who just opened up the side of the air handler and really didn't do anything, and he brought a shop vac with him or a wet vac and, cleaned out the drain pan. And he said, okay, this should do it. Your home is real hot. You got to give it a while. So we said, okay. The guy, both of these guys didn't bring in any test equipment or anything like that. And it just didn't get done. So I called them back again, and I said, look, you got to get somebody else out here. So they contacted another company. They sent them out, and those people seemed to know what they were doing. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back. The first company... After they told me what, the second time they came out, I had a guy from their place call me and said, look, did they tell you about the $1,000 discount if you want to buy a new AC system? And I said, no. And I said, I'm not really sure that I want to do that. And this guy went on and on, and he said, well, let me know, maybe we can get you into something. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd that they'd right away want to call and sell me a new unit. So anyway, now go back to the second company. And that guy came out, like I said, didn't really do a thing. No, I'm sorry. I called the second company, and this guy brought test equipment and seemed like he knew what he was doing. And he came upstairs and went through the air handler again, and he found some Freon leaks in the coil. And I said, okay, can you check my outside unit, too? And so he went out there. He said he found a small leak in something in the outside unit. So I said, okay, well, can you get the parts ordered? So they went back and forth with American Home Shield. And, you know, they kept saying, well, they need proof of this and proof of that. And they sent them the estimate. And so I waited. And it's now, what is it today, August 20th, right. August 21st?
Right.
And they still have, you know, I call and they say, well, they thought the company was going to order the parts. Well, I call the company, and I think they've been pretty honest with me. But they said they called American Home Shield, and they said, well, no, there's no parts ordered.
Yeah.
And so we've just been going back and forth. And I finally called them, and I said, look, you know, I called American Home Shield, and I said, look, something needs to be done, or I'm going to contact an attorney. Well, then they went and acted like they were going to do something about it. And this has been about 2 weeks ago.
Well, this has been
and they still haven't done anything.
Yeah, it's coming up on 3 months. This is coming up.
Pretty soon, yeah. And, yeah. And
have you been without air conditioning? Have you been without
air conditioning? Yeah, the weather in Florida this time of year is very hot.
Yeah.
And,
okay, so what is it?
So I just wanted.
But is that something covered by the warranty? Are they claiming it's not covered by the warranty, or they're just
No, they haven't said that. The only thing that's not covered is the Freon, and they're telling me I need $1,200 worth of Freon, which if it's not covered and that's what it costs, I don't mind paying.
Yeah, but you can buy a compressor for that kind of money, can't you?
Well, I'm just at my wit's end with them. And, you know, like I said, everything else, you know, dryer went out, they sent a guy out to fix it. The washing machine went out, they fixed it. Dishwasher.
Right, right.
It's always been real quick. And I'm not sure what's really going on.
Well, they haven't given you anything in writing as what their position is on it?
No, right. I keep asking for that. Yeah. I keep saying, send me something, you know. As a matter of fact, the company, the first company that I've been dealing with, I'm getting mixed up. The second company that I've been dealing with, they seem pretty fair and pretty honest. They're getting kind of upset with American Home Shield as well. But I called American Home Shield, and they said, finally, they said, well, we're going to send them something. We're going to send them like a purchase order or something like that. I said, okay, well, can you CC me on that email? And they said, well, no, we can't do that because it has purchase order numbers and stuff like that. And I said, well, that's odd. I said, you're sending me proof that you're ordering stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, I let that go. And the other place, the AC company, has not heard anything from them yet.
Yeah, I think, have you looked at the warranty agreement to see where you file a lawsuit? Is there an arbitration provision in there, or does it allow you to file the lawsuit in the county where you live?
I don't know. I'll have to check that. And I just left. I'm not at my home now, but I will check into it. I will go through it. You know, most of it's online now, and that's where I found the Freon clause.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you signed that. You know, what you pay for the warranty, then this warranty company has agreements with these subcontractors, right?
Right.
They don't have their own people. Like they hire ABC Air Conditioning company,
yes.
Right? Yeah, they work a deal with them. Okay. So what you got to look at though is. The warranty, if they're not fulfilling their obligations under the warranty, there should be a provision that you can look at to see where you can file your lawsuit. because
okay,
I mean, all right. Because we do handle some warranty where we do a lot of lemon law and warranty work in our office. I don't know if this is a case we can handle, but first, what you got to look at is, we have a lawyer in our office that can talk to you. But I think okay. First you got to look at if you could look at the warranty and it says yeah, it says here.
I will.
Because if you're going to be stuck in an arbitration, it could be tough, you know. Or it says you got to file your lawsuit in Minnesota. That could be an issue too, where the company is located. Hopefully, there's not a venue clause in that warranty.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's how they get around it. They make it so difficult. When a warranty is like an agreement. I mean, when you purchase that warranty, it's a contract, you know, and a lot of times they slip in these provisions where it's very difficult to file a lawsuit because you got to go to California to file it, or you got to go to, or you're going to be stuck in an arbitration, which can be very expensive. So, but in the, you know, what we need to look at is, because it sounds like they breached the warranty. It's been 3 months and your AC is not fixed. You're willing to pay for the Freon, which I don't know if that's a great idea. You may want to replace the unit for, you know, a little bit more than that, but that's up to you.
Right.
But you got to look at the agreement first, the American Home Shield.
All right.
And then if you could, let me tell you, why don't you leave your number with Scott, and he's our producer. And then I can, if you take the time to look at it, I can call you next week and maybe we can talk more about it.
Okay. I mean, all right.
Where are they at right now? Are they going to do anything, or you're just in limbo still?
Well, the local company told me that they think what they're going to offer to do is replace the coil in the air handler. That was the one that was leaking.
Right.
But when I talked to them the other day, they said, And this really sounded good, but it's been so long. They said what they may end up doing, since the coil is very expensive, they said they may end up doing is replacing the air handler. And the company told me, they said, that would be good for you, but in Florida, you can't just replace the air handler. You have to replace the outside unit and it has something to do with them being compatible and using the same Freon or something. I'm about to cancel, but I hate to cancel because then I might lose whatever I had coming. So I will go online and I'll check that. And I'll be in phone contact. Pardon me?
I'll be in phone contact. You can leave your number with Scott, our producer.
Okay,
I'll be in phone
contact. I'll do that. I will.
Yeah, but these warranties, I mean, you know, a lot of people, I don't know what you paid for, it's none of my business, but what they do is they just contract out with other vendors to do the work.
Yeah, Ed, if you'll just stay on the line for me, I'll get that information from you in just a minute.
Absolutely,
so stay
for me. I'll be here.
All right, guys, we're going to take another quick break, and the Consumer Law Hour will have its final segment in just a moment here on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we are back for the final segment of the Consumer Law Hour, 855-765-1045, the number to call. If you got questions, we'll see what we can do to get you on with Chuck and Eddie. We've got Anthony from Jacksonville, and he's got a question regarding commercial auto insurance. Anthony, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I own a small business here in Jacksonville, and we have commercial auto, and one of my guys was hit in a work van. It was not his fault. They ended up totaling the van. My insurance, he was fully insured. My insurance told me that I had a stated value policy, so they would only pay a set number. And I asked them, what about, you know, replacement value, what about the value of the wrap and the equipment that was in the van, and what about loss of use to the business? And they told me there was nothing they could do for me, that I would have to try to go after his insurance myself. And that just seemed kind of weird. I didn't think I really had much of a chance as a person against an insurance company.
No, I think that's, you could handle that. You can make a claim against the other side. Do you know how much coverage they have? Are they...
I don't know. Okay. I have the policy and his company on the police report, but outside that, I don't know.
I mean, is the van's a total loss?
The van was a total loss, yes. So my insurance company gave me the stated value that was on my policy.
Right, the retail value of it. They owed you the retail value. You could have, I don't know why you did that, because now they probably have a deductible. They probably reduced it by the deductible amount. But you could have gone against the at-fault driver's insurance and not had to worry about the deductible. Now, your company will collect the money from the other side and pay you back your deductible. But you're also owed, did you pay you the sales tax for it?
No.
Yeah, you're entitled to sales tax. So if the van is worth $5,000, they owe you the 7% on top of it.
I mean, how far off is the stated value from what you think it's worth?
So the stated value is, so it's brand new. I just bought it 4 months ago. I paid $32 and a change for it. And the new one I had to buy, the exact same van, I just 4 months later, it cost me $39.
Yeah, I know, but you should have gotten to $39.
Well, because
cars are worth, these vehicles now are worth, I mean, more than the sticker price.
So I had to pay more than sticker price, exactly. But that, my insurance told me that's not how that works.
Well, it's based on the retail market value of the vehicle.
Yeah, but he's got a stated value policy, means he, at the beginning of the policy, they came up with the value that vehicle is at the time the policy was taken out.
So they in the policy, it tells you what you get for that van.
What are they offering you, the 32 and change?
32, yes, sir.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that when I got the policy. So the policy is only 4 months old as well. So I'm kind of new to all this.
How does that work? What do you mean stated value? Does it actually give you an amount?
Yeah. It gives you an amount right at the beginning of the policy. It tells you, here's what we will pay if it's totaled. And, you know, in normal times, it makes sense because vans, vehicles, they depreciate. So,
yeah, but now they're going up high. They're getting more expensive.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that because then I spent another $4,000 to wrap the van with company logos and stuff.
Yeah,
and then
you can get that from the other side. That comes to you from the other side.
Yeah, they'll have to have some coverage for that.
And any kind of personal items in the vehicle, tools or anything like that.
How do I go about going after his insurance?
Leave your phone number with Scott. The show, we run out of time. I'll call you and I'll talk to you about it.
I greatly appreciate that. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Just leave your name and number with Scott and I'll be in phone contact. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, man.
All right, bye.
We appreciate that call, Anthony. Stay put for me and I'll be with you in just a second. And guys, as always, appreciate the opportunity to spend another Saturday with you.
Thanks, Scott.
Have a great weekend. Jacksonville, we'll talk to you again next week on the Consumer Law Hour here on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk.